Here in just a minute. On Twitter Space is pretty much like the bigger the audience, the more like new folks show up. So retweet and stuff and spread this around, since a lot of you guys have already known about the project for quite a while. Want to kind of like catch up with some new folks. Bruce is away for a minute. We usually use our hand up as a AFK signal. Slinks, how are you this evening?
Pretty good. I saw you post the Smuckers. The Smuckers trade. You know I worked for them, right? Did I ever tell you the story?
Did you really?
Yeah. I when I was, oh God, I must have been like 24 years old. I was the supervisor for the fresh fruit processing for the strawberry side of the business. 60 million pounds of strawberry jam by yours truly. Like, I managed. And now I don't do anything of the sort. But yeah, someday when the space isn't like that big and we have like a smaller space, I can go into the details of the crazy world of food processing. Crazy.
I bought all the craziest, silliest stocks all year long just because everything was at a discount. I have no idea why I bought it. Just like, let's push buttons and buy shit.
Hey,
pretty much what it was. That was my research.
Uncrustables were like impossible to get. The biggest, and they're like Jif peanut butter is like fucking delicious. So, you know, I think you did okay.
That'll be fine, you're saying?
Yeah, it's a good company. Did you ever buy the dip today?
I did. Yep. So yeah, the history of my buying right now is, so far I picked some up in that like six range. And then, of course, like the thing, it topped out at like 52 and maybe like bottomed at like maybe 24. And I bought at 27, I picked up about double what I had before. So I actually averaged up quite a bit, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending how you look at it. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, but yeah, it won't matter shortly.
Yeah, right. Probably not, because like it's you know, I think it was like a 55% pullback or something like that, which is pretty reasonable. So I went ahead and grabbed some more, and then like if things go down further and like some of the other stuff I have go up, I'll just like swap those, essentially, you know, take something up in the green and then go and buy this instead. So we'll see. Yeah, I've kind of made a lot of things a lot more liquid, so I can kind of just start playing around. But yeah, like I think, like narrative wise, Zephyr is really good as far as just overall potential for growth and everything. I think this time around, I didn't do any kind of like swap to ZSD. Did you try to do that yet, as far as like trying to trade it in the wallet yet?
No, the answer is just no.
So like my thought is like, okay, so from here, like whenever there's another up, like maybe 10x or so. So I think market caps, you know, would be closer to like a billion or so. Then my thought is, what I'm going to do is just like do, when there's like a good like time where it settles in, I'll swap Zephyr to ZSD in the wallet. And then just simply swap back when the price is lower. When you do that, it doesn't really negatively affect the price of the coin, because like it doesn't go into a sell. It becomes like a liability for the network. So something you'll notice with Zephyr is like in the wallet, when the price pumps a lot, there are people that do this and they wind up like converting their Zephyr to ZSD. And then like, as you see the price bottoming, you see the ZSD goes down and probably people swap back into Zephyr. So people are actively sort of trading in there. There's a bit of a fee to do that, but like the fee might be worth the anonymity. So like once you're in the wallet, you just don't leave and register buys and sells in any particular place, which I think is kind of a like a good thing for a lot of reasons. But my thought is like I picked up a much larger bag and I probably will just like if the protocol remains secure, I think it might be one where I'm going to like drop a lot of store value stuff in there for the future so that like, you know, when the bag's worth a lot, it'll be much more useful to me as kind of like this like hidden source of value, which like has a different sort of utility than like a open ledger situation. So I think a lot of people are going to notice the exact same thing about Zephyr Protocol. It's that ability to swap between stable and unstable coins within the wallet with reasonable confidence that I think is going to be the flywheel effect that just sends it to the moon. I think like the this is eminently more useful than, say, for example, Caspa. It's more useful than Monero. It's more useful than like a Zcash Dash. It's more useful than pretty much like most DeFi systems in that like it has this special capability. I guess like you could do stuff like this in Secret Network in theory, but the thing about Secret Network is its primary token, SCRT, is not, it just doesn't have as much of a store value capability. And there's like inflationary rewards that are a bit different. So I think with this being proof of work, it just represents just a very different value proposition. So for anyone who doesn't sort of like know what Zephyr is yet, it's basically like based on Monero protocol and the same hashing algorithm. So you can currently mine it on a CPU, which is the whole idea is to like improve decentralization by predominantly making it a CPU mine coin, as opposed to say GPUs, which are expensive, or ASICs, which are also very expensive. So I started mining today as well. So that's kind of cool. We can talk about that a little bit. That's been pretty interesting to set up, but I think some of the like hitches I had were mostly related to like nuances with, you know, how PCs are built, not so much with the software available to do mining. But yeah, pretty cool stuff. I think like right now where I think at what's our market cap right now? Like 73 million or something like that. But pretty much in this 20 to 30K range, the volume's been pretty consistent, like 4 or 5 billion per day. Four to five million per day. And that's good because that means that like there's price discovery going on. There is a new kind of base forming. And this price area will probably become the highest volume area very quickly, just because there's so many more people in Zephyr now than there were, like, let's say, a few weeks back. So that's gonna make a really big difference in terms of like eating up all the tokens that like miners have been selling and stuff like that. So that's really good. And you want miners to sell. We were talking about this earlier today. Like, you know, you might say, well, mining emissions, like, aren't they gonna keep the price down? Yeah, I mean, for a little while, but the thing is, mining emissions getting sold and put into the market improve like liquidity in the market, and then also like it makes sure that there's decentralization of wallet sizes and decentralization of just like the amount of you want like less coins in any one wallet. That way, it becomes just a much more organic market in theory. So proof of work networks are always like this. They just kind of take a while to sort of settle in. But I think there are probably a lot of miners, like, you know, I started mining today and I'm not interested in selling this sort of thing until like the coin's worth well over $1,000 or more. And even then it's like debatable whether it's necessary to sell it. Cause like basically having a privacy coin in your wallet that you have for a rainy day, is a nice snug feeling. I like. like what do you think about the, like, how does the actual system make you feel, Slinks, like compared to anything else you own? Like, it's different, right? Am I right?
It's
about
totally
that
different. I also think different. Like going back to what you're talking about with fees, Like the moving average thing is really interesting as well. I don't know. It's just really different. It makes you kind of slow down. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's just like all of these concerns, like, do I want to break privacy? Do I want to pay the fees? Do I want to mess with the moving averages to sell? Like, is it optimal or whatever? All of that slows you down, which is good. It's like, and yeah, it improves sort of the stickiness of it and makes people like make less like weird panic decisions about their buying and selling, which is good.
Yeah. I guess like when, you know, talking to Up about other proof of work things he's looking into, there's just nothing, I don't know if it's just the cognitive dissonance of you and Bruce or if it's actually just something great. I don't know.
Well, it's not, I'm sure there's a lot of great projects out there. Like that's possible. Like, but at the same time, like, and by the way, if there's something really, really amazing, I'm always up for someone convincing me one way or the other. So I don't have a problem with that. It's just like, but even amongst all of the stuff that he's aware of, like nothing resonated with Up as much as this did either, which tells me something. So like his infectious enthusiasm for it made me more infectious for it and, you know, onward and on upward. But yeah, like if you can convince me, you can usually imagine there's like, millions of people that are going to be interested. It's just simply a matter of time. So I think that's an important kind of feature of it. But in this regard, like, I think it's but just these utility features of it make it just eminently more useful than most other proof of work systems, or really, I don't know, maybe all other proof of work systems that I'm aware of. I think historically when like Ethereum was proof of work, you could argue that that was the sort of like the highest utility work system, but that wasn't private, you know? So like, and like, what did you do in Ethereum? The whole point of Ethereum was you'd buy this coin and that coin and borrow and lend and do what to buy more Ethereum. So like, if you're doing all of that shit just to do all of that, like the core features are, if you can go to a stable coin, you can come back to your asset coin and swap between them. Like, you know, what else do you want really? There's a simple purity and simplicity to it that you don't need all that other shit because like just the fact that it's private alone means that you can transact back and forth and accomplish things that you simply couldn't on Ethereum with an open blockchain or, you know, or anything else. So I think it's pretty, this is just eminently more useful to me. Like just to me, I don't care what anyone else does with it. I just think for me, it's going to be very, very helpful for reasons I don't really want to even say out loud. But the point is like, you know, it's if you can't use your imagination for a moment, what you can do with this, I don't know what to tell you. You're just an idiot. But having said all that, like, you know, like since we're, you know, talking to an audience of people, any crypto related project like can suffer from all sorts of problems in the beginning. You're talking about you could have wallet hacks, you could have exchange hacks, Mexi could go to zero, or like, you know, like Mt. Gox or whatever, or you know, Oracle problems with the Zephyr ecosystem, or like maybe, you know, the owners of the anonymous team of the protocol decide to sort of dump on people or something. Who knows? Like any of that shit can happen, right? But like basically as long as there's momentum, none of that, like over the long run, what will happen is most of those things will get worked out. And I think the more exchanges that you have the coin on, the less likely there's like a Mexi rug pull risk or something like that. So you basically have like a lot of, you know, like you're basically getting a lot higher upside right now, but for always kind of like early protocol risk. So like, you know, people always say, oh, you shilled this and you shilled that. You didn't tell us it could go to zero and whatever. No, we're telling you like all crypto shit can go to zero. It's just like depends on which risk factor you're talking about. So like usually when I'm talking about crypto, I'm not getting into like risks that are like kind of like consistent with all crypto. You know what I mean? Like protocol risks and different things like that can happen to any crypto. It's like, you know, that's why people say anything can go to zero. So, you know, unless you're like a coder and you've audited the chain and the whole fucking thing, like, you know, anything can do poorly. But that's just part of the game is like, you know, diversifying and like grabbing a few things that you think are interesting. But yeah, proof of work generally is secure. We know that the Monero algorithm in this case, RandomX, is secure. We know it's secure because Monero has been running since like 2014 without a hitch. Now like the hashing power as of today, it's been like 1.5 gigahash per second, which is about a little more than half of Monero's. And sometimes it spikes up to about 2.5, even 3, I think, or this morning it went to 3 gigahash per second. So you'll see miners going on and off the network because a lot of these mining pools will allow you to like swap between whatever you want. So like, let's say something else is more profitable for a little while. Some miners will swap to something else. Or if like the difficulty rating is too high, you'll see a bunch of miners just swap. So they'll go from 3 gigahash down to 1.5 and then jump back up again. And eventually like there's like a stabilization effect that will happen and that whole thing will chill out. I did get my mining rig finally working. Like after I got all the right components in and just got the bio set up correctly. There is a little subtle thing in there that like the HiVos operating system that you sort of install on a USB drive, it doesn't install properly if you have secure boot on in your BIOS. So like once I got that shit turned off, finally realized what was going on, I was able to make it work. And it's now hashing pretty good. It's like at 14,300 before overclocking. I was going to let it run today, see what kind of temperatures it produces. It's pretty much running cool. Very cool right now, like pretty much unencumbered. And then I want to see if I can get that up to like 16 or 17 or 18 hash per second. And then if I can get it to like 18,000, I might get more of these. Like I just, you know, load up the attic or maybe throw some in my business, like where I have a bunch of gigantic amount of space. And it can just basically like heat the house during the winter or like heat the garage or something. You know, like, so there's plenty of room for throwing these in there. The AMD ones aren't that loud either. So that's pretty good. I don't know how loud they're going to be once I kind of really rev them up, but we'll see.
But what, like, what are you getting a month? Like how many coins is it mining a month?
Up calculated it today at like 14,200, you're going to be getting like 1.6 a month. Which, you know, I figure like, I'm like estimating Zeph at like $1,000 or so, long-term target. So my estimation is like, if I can collect like, you know, something like 10 or 20 of them with this rig, like over a period of time, then that's a pretty good buy for the cost of the thing, which was like $700-$800, which is not much. Mining is all about like getting in early and, you know, obviously the difficulty gets much harder and the profitability is less later. So, but it's also good to like help decentralize the network. And also if you're mining, you're like sort of in it for the long term. So I do suggest that everyone try. You can use a regular computer. You just have to make sure that you don't like use a laptop or something like that where you burn the fucking thing out and like, you know, overheat it. But you can slow the hash rate down. There's some settings that you can do that. So you don't have to necessarily burn out a computer doing it. If you have idle computers, like Up has every computer in his house running. He put like mining rigs up above the cabinets in the kitchen and shit. He put them like all over the place. His wife was upset with him until she realized it was making good money. so it's kind of funny. He just has them everywhere.
Can you imagine what that looks like? I would be cracking up.
Imagine the wife of Up, right? Like with miners and shit running all over the kitchen and shit. Be hilarious. Maybe cook like an egg on one of them or something. You know, like run your stovetop with it or something like that. But anyway, yeah, but it's going smoothly. I was using the HiVos operating system, HiVeOS. You can run 4 miners on that for free. After that, like they charge you like $3 a month or something just for, like it's kind of an open source project or whatever, but they charge you a little bit for maintenance and stuff. But it's pretty cool because like you can see what all your miners are doing on your, you know, on your phone. You can look at it on desktop or whatever, and you don't actually need to have a screen or anything else hooked up to your mining rigs. Of course, like you just can hook those up just for setup, and then you can disconnect them, and then all you have to do is like use a little flash drive that has the HiVos operating system on it. It's basically a Linux based thing. You pop it into your USB drive of your rig and it will load up all the shit necessary. So he told me that like it's better to get like those little $12 he had like a recommended SSD card type of thing that you slide into your computer instead of the using USB flash drives because they just won't last as long. But I, you know, like a pile of like 5 flash drives is like $25, so like whatever. I started with the flash drives just to kind of like play with it and see what how easy it is. It's pretty straightforward once you like work out a couple of kinks, but it does take a few minutes to learn it. But you know, it'll be worth the effort. We'll see. Anyway, if folks have any questions about the network, stuff like that, feel free to hop on. Bruce, how you been doing, man? Are you back?
Hey. Yeah, one sec. Yeah, I'm good.
Are you going to start mining when you get home?
No, I think I'll leave that to other people. Yeah, good.
Just owning coins is good enough for you, huh?
Good. The Suzu is out.
Oh, he is out for sure. It's like a little secret.
Everyone buy Zeph right now is what he's saying.
I think what he meant to say is get Ox right now.
No, I won't say anything. Okay. It's just a thing you can if you paid attention, then it's a fact.
Very nice. All right. Suzu is out of prison.
Fuck yeah.
You heard it here first, man.
My bags.
Very nice. Anyway, okay, so that's one problem solved. did your limit orders get filled, Bruce, for more Zeph?
I think I basically loaded up twice what you have at the start. So I don't really care. I've got enough.
I doubled up quite a bit, and then I just sort of freed up a bunch of resources in case like we have a dip that's more to maybe like, I don't know, if we go down to like 15 to 25 or something in that range, I figured I'd just like hammer it at that point.
The only other thing I bought this week is a thing called Research Coin, which I think is interesting.
Yep, you mentioned that. Like, so RSC. Up mentioned something very similar, by the way. I forget the name of it. He mentioned this morning, EIC or something like that.
ETI,
there you go. Yeah,
there are a bunch, but the whole point of the Research Coin one is it's backed by, well, the founder is Brian Armstrong of Coinbase fame, which is a pretty good bet when something is 20 million, like it's 20 million market cap. It is, I think it aims to sort of decentralize or move away from the peer-reviewed system, all the research stuff. So fundraising and contributing and reviewing other papers and acting on a council or whatever. It's trying to decentralize that whole system of like ass licking and peer-reviewed stuff. But I think the main thing is that it's 20 million market cap and it's also founded by Brian Armstrong. And he has a big conference tour coming up. So I bought some this week.
Yeah, I think it's relevant if like people that actually do research decide that they want to use it, but like that's a long way away.
I bought just because I thought the name value alone, and the
narrative and name
conference stuff. Like in upcoming conferences, it says founder of Coinbase and Research Hub, implying he's going to talk about it. So that's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he probably will.
What's going on, guys? It's great to be here.
Wabi.
It's great to be here on the show again with the greatest builder that the crypto industry has ever known, the one and only, the all-knowing Coach Bruce Wrangler. Coach.
The question
Bruce.
Is, though, Wabi, did you buy the dip yet? I'm asking everybody. Did you pick up your bag?
On what?
Of Zeph.
Yeah, I still have my moon bag. Yes, sir. I'm not set.
Okay, good.
I'm still going to hold position. Until like it flips Monero, so
it took a lot of effort for to get all of our friends to grab it.
If you think about it, like if this all came from one little space where me, you, and the coach and Up were involved, imagine next year, imagine like 2025, right, when the coach is at 1 million followers and I'm at 100k followers and we all have armies, and just from like a pledge of allegiance, all of our followers just buy like $100 worth of Zeph. So, $100 plus 1 million followers, that's like 100 mil injected into this thing. So
I'm actually going to need 100 Zeph from Bruce because his mental space AI invasion, it's basically, I'm going to need $100 Zeph invoice for that.
Yeah, Bruce does that. Eventually, Bruce will have to pay all his followers for all the mental anguish. But, you know, whatever. He'll be rich. It's fine.
I'm like, what is going on in my DMs? This guy's got a AI bot posted up, bro. It only, like, took two messages. But I'll send you that Zeph ZSD address later. No problem.
I see the token that you've been talking about as points.
Don Cryptomium, what have you been up to? You making Zeph videos next or what?
Well, I've been up to sleeping lately.
Now, like, is this to get your heart rate variability index increased or what?
No, it's up to that it was night. So,
okay.
But
yes.
I started
night
today half an hour ago. And 2 days ago, so I don't measure it at night, right? So it's not very relevant. But I put it on the morning, and 2 days ago, and I felt it. I felt really good, and I hit 100 HRV. And I think it was very lucky because there was usually it's less, you know. So through the day, as I exercise and go on, it averages down to 50. But in the mornings, I have the highest the first hour in the morning, and it hit 100 for 1 day. And I think it was very lucky because Coach Bruce was blocking everyone who has HRV below 100. And just this one day.
Yeah, I can confirm. I'm largely blocked for the most part.
Yeah, so this was a very lucky move that I just barely qualified to be not blocked by Coach Bruce. And now I'm just listening the shoutouts to the coins you are giving. I'm checking this research coin. I'm thinking to add something to Zephyr, but I'm not liquid at all. I don't have anything anymore. And I've been providing some liquidity to the trading pool on Rune, on Levana, and I'm getting losses. The pool is getting drained because the Rune is just keep going up, which is a little bit annoying. So I was hoping the coach maybe could dump it a little bit. Because I provided 8K in liquidity on RunePool 3 days ago. There is 6.5K now. I got like 20% impermanent
loss. You're suffering from impermanent permanent loss. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, impermanent. So how it works, you provide the USDC to the trader. So that is the pool that, you know, if there is one side winning too much.
I would be a little bit nervous about that, because the thing is, like, Rune, you know, it's, I think there's a pretty good chance, like, it finds just a new level and doesn't go back down. So, like, that's a concern.
Yeah, so I'm thinking what to do, but it's a little like a pussy move. After losing some money, you start moving around money, right? But I'm concerned the Rune is gonna keep going up. And I'm gonna keep losing that money, but I must say one of my friends, my very good friend, he's actually a big influencer. He's been buying a lot of Rune lately, and he's convinced that the Rune is gonna do 10x. And I keep telling him, like, hey, you can just follow Coach, because he sends me all the threads that are being done by random people, and it's like just follow Coach. Doesn't matter. But he has very high conviction that it can do 10x. And I could see that.
Wabi, you're kind of breaking in and out there. Maybe get to Dale first. Dale, what's going on, man? What are you up to? Dale, you there?
Dale?
Maybe not.
Don Cryptonium, when you say a big influencer, do you mean the Cosmos OG, the King Daddy? The Cosmoverse Master, Crypto Tito.
I said my friend, you know, so he's not necessarily my friend. And if that would be a Tito, I would not say maybe the big influencer. I would say King of Cosmos. I would say Builder of the Builders. You know, to give the respect to the great influencer Tito, to the men of the charisma, men of the spoken word. you know, the poet.
The melon head king of the ICF.
He has indeed funny head.
It's too round. We discussed this before. We've had multiple spaces on it. His head is too round.
What's the result of the round heads? Is there some?
There are different birthing disorders. Remember when I think somebody accused what's the fucking guy's name? BitBoy of having the same disease. What's that thing people were posting for a while? They were posting BitBoy's head, and they were theorizing that he has some disease.
Oh, like Cushing's disease or something, or acromegaly?
No,
or...
like a birth.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I met him once in Prague, right? Him and some other people that are around Cosmos. I was once in Prague, and during that time there was an event. And, you know, I was expecting these people are like quite outgoing because they're influencers or so. But it was very miserable. Like, you know, I started talking. They just sat. They just sat, tired, silent. And it makes you wonder, like, why they're influencers, because there's like these people don't really have much to say. You know, I don't know why even they go to the events, because they just sit and do nothing. Like, nothing to say.
Like, what are they supposed to do? Like, dance or something? Or
no, just like be interesting person. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, have something to say. Yeah, just like just being like normal person, but it makes you feel like you're meeting, I don't know, very shy Reddit users or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
by
getting
the big
back
influencer,
to it.
Sorry. Like, I just finished. I think he wouldn't be mad. There is the guy, he used to make videos a while back. His name is Sheldon Evans. So I'm like friend with Sheldon pre-crypto. So he kind of like don't do that much of the video, but we have a group and I always like send him tweets. He sends me tweets. So he's very interested in Rune now. But he doesn't, it's not really keen on like making videos. I always send him something group related. I shoot him Zeph at 6 and they never buy.
Well, I think Sheldon got scarred by like making videos during the Terra crash. So I think that's part of what may have like maybe soured him to doing videos and things. I don't maybe. It's kind of like,
yeah, I think that was it. He actually lost he had everything in Luna. So that was,
I don't think he had everything in Luna, but he definitely, yeah, I think he's mostly Ethereum guy, but either way, like, I think it was like, he was like worried about like the outcome of these things. Yeah. Like part of it too, is like this, this kind of like scarring effect that, well, I told my friends about some coin and it went to zero. And so now they're all upset about it and stuff. It's like, give me a break.
It was everything in Luna. So.
Yeah. So the thing is, like,
beyond some other project, right? But go on.
For anyone that's wondering, so what's special about Zephyr is that it does not have a mint burn mechanism, such as Luna UST. It does not have a mint burn mechanism that actually affected things like Iron Finance's coin. It doesn't have a mechanism like that that affected recent, like the Haven ecosystem. So the mint burn mechanism, like the automated thing, just simply does not work correctly, especially when you have a stable coin that is spread across many exchanges. So what this system has is ZSD is not exactly stable. It's kind of quasi-stable, and it's stabilized. The more it becomes used, the more people will arb the price on exchanges and like drive the price back to one extent or the other. But the other reason it sort of maintains is because you have a very high over-collateralization ratio of like Zephyr reserve to the actual stable. So all of that is kind of manual, and nobody expects the primary like stable coin to stay like perfectly stable. And that's a good thing, because like I think that means that the growth of the stable will just be like a small sprinkle and kind of an appendage onto Zephyr, which otherwise is Monero. So my theory behind this is that like if you look at stables in general, you have like the smallest stablecoin systems are worth like maybe 500 million as far as market cap. The larger ones like Monero are worth like 3 billion. Proof of work systems like Caspa became very popular as a fair launch type of thing. That made it to like close to 3 billion. And I think that the market cap targets for this are really good. So my perspective is that like if just the Zephyr does well as a stable, as a unstable asset, meaning like just a regular proof of work coin, and you have the benefit of being able to swap in and out of the semi-stable coin just for like trading purposes and for like secret transactions, that by itself is sufficient for me. I mean, if you think about it, like when I was in Luna, I wasn't buying US, I wasn't owning much UST. I was almost doing, like, I only cared about whether Luna went up or down. That was what mattered. And if I could use UST for convenience purposes, I certainly did. But I wasn't sitting there holding a bunch of UST. I wasn't trying to, stick in an anchor protocol where the yield is really high and kind of do very much with it. I mostly cared about the Luna price go up. So in this case, same thing. Like, I'm more interested in how Zephyr does. I'm not that interested in how the ZSD thing does. But I do know this, like any ecosystem, we're talking about any DeFi ecosystem that has some form of stablecoin, like it usually has very high usage. Like you see this on Kajira right now. Kajira is a new chain that emerged out of the Terra collapse, and they have a stablecoin in their ecosystem that you can mint with, like, I think Atom and Kajira, and it's called the USK token. And it's fairly popular in terms of just overall usage and within the ecosystem. You don't have to have a huge amount of it, but whatever amount there is, typically there's fairly high demand for. And then you can also add things like USDC and Tether, but the problem with those is their censorship. It's possible to censor them. The other problem with a platform like Ethereum or Kajira or any of the dozen myriad layer one blockchains that have smart contracts on them is that the vast majority are not private. Secret Network is one of the few that is actually private with smart contracts. But the problem is the tokenomics of the primary token are kind of mediocre. So it's like, like at the end of the day, if your core goal is number go up, which it ought to be, because that's the only way to have like an ecosystem continue to grow, is that people want the primary token, then you have to have that as like the first fundamental. And I think this has that. And then if you have like ZSD being used as a convenience measure by people to swap in and out, like you saw this happen at the recent pump, by the way. So when Zephyr went to $52 or so at the peak, what you noticed is that like the number of stable coins minted increased because one, it's safe to increase at the stable coin at the top, which is actually a unique feature because now you're over collateralized. And I think the over collateralization was like 3,000%, which is like really good. And on top of that, like you can basically exit from this thing in secret with nobody knowing that you did it. So if any of you guys actually swapped from the Zephyr to ZSD, nobody knows unless you tell them. End of story. So that's the beauty of it. And then like, so there's not really like anything to report because this is basically a big black box. No, you know, I don't even have any Zephyr anyway. I like it's a guy in Amazon, the Amazon forest keeps it for me. So that I don't have to worry about any kind of like, concerns. So he trades it and whatever, and, you know, monitors it so that if I have to escape one day to the Amazon forest, I can, because everyone should have like a destination that they can leave. Right. So anyway, so the Zephyr token like has this advantage. And then what you notice too is like when the price started hitting kind of like its bottom again, like, you know, I think it's like 24 or 25, you'll notice that like the stable coin started, the amount of it started going down. You can monitor this on network.zephyrprotocol.com. And what that implies is that a lot of people that had switched to the stable in order to sort of stay in the ecosystem were swapping back at the bottom in secret again, so that they can reacquire the token. And while doing all of this, it doesn't affect the price of the coins. So the nice thing about this is it doesn't like show any sell pressure on the actual Zephyr token itself. And like if you were to sell it in a centralized exchange, which makes the price go down. So over time, what you'll find is like more of that mechanism will be used. Whether or not ZSD is like mass adopted or people like want to, you know, pay for missile launchers with it or whatever, I don't give a fuck. Like what people want to do with that and how adopted it becomes to me is like neither here nor there. I know that's not what the probably the protocol people want to hear. They want to adopt it everywhere. I just don't care, honestly. Like if it does well, great. It's beneficial for the system. I'm all for it. But if it doesn't, I'm not necessarily using ZSD for at this point for anything except as a trading instrument. So I can go back and forth if I want to. Now, I didn't actually bother to swap this time. Like I didn't know where the top was going to be or whatever. I'm looking to kind of use that mechanism more like when we are probably closer to like a 1 billion market cap, that kind of range. And then I'll kind of play these games. So like, yeah, I have no interest in messing with my portfolio and stuff. In fact, all I had my Amazon buddy do is he's sitting in the rainforest on his computer with the internet, with the Wi-Fi, is I had him just basically get me some more Zeph at the local sort of like what I consider the bottom at about $27. A trick you can use is like you can go on Mexi, you can look at the order book there, which is where most of the liquidity is. And if people have most of their orders at like 25 and 24, I'm like, fuck it. Why am I going to give that to them at that cheap? I just bought it and like front run them at 27 and then just kind of took it all up. And then if it goes back down that further, I'll just get some more. No sweat. But like, I don't want to make it too easy for the dip buyers or whatever. Like that's my money and I'm going to take it from you. That's how this works. And then like, I have a bunch of other coins and shit that are on the way up. Like everything I own is up. Every stock, I'm like 99% of my stocks are up. Everything's up. So pretty much like what I'm going to do is I want to have a fairly sizable bag of Zephyr where I can sort of like play games with it in private and no one knows it's there. And I think that's a cool feature of it. Like what I do within the wallet's my business and nobody else's.
You can go on little expeditions. You can send your money out, trade it a few times, and then bring the profits back into your black hole.
Yep.
Be nice.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. So it's just this like, yeah, I mean, you know, it's all done in the Amazon where this is like normal, right? Like the indigenous people there, they don't give a fuck. So they're fine. Right. I'm not too concerned about it.
Would you say that, Ethereum will be outperformed or it's worth to hold Ethereum? Like, do you hold like Ethereum holding, or you mainly going ETH? Or you mainly going in the smaller altcoins that you are talking about, or you still like mainly
I bought, exposed to? So ETH's chart looked pretty decent for a break. I bought a little bit a couple of weeks ago, but then once kind of like Up told me about Zeph, I just sold it and then like swapped into Zephyr instead, which was the correct choice. Yeah, ETH, you know, it's there. Like you can use it as a store of value, but in terms of like bull market growth multiples, you know, it's probably like more useful for people within the ETH ecosystem to swap in and out of like a store of value token and like stack ETH as opposed to someone who's doesn't use Ethereum that much. Like if you want to like the purpose of owning Ethereum is mainly if you want to use it as collateral within the Ethereum ecosystem. I don't play around with Ethereum that much, so I don't, or in that ecosystem, so I don't really care that much about owning ETH. So I think there's not a very high multiple growth for ETH in any kind of short term.
Yeah, have you looked a little into Arbitrum, because I'm getting exposed a little to the Arbitrum lately. You know, it seems to be like getting a lot of that Ethereum collateral. A lot of Ethereum, but the altcoins they stay quite low, right? So the winner that
Coach was I haven't researched too much about them, but like yeah, if you got in very early, they're probably fine. But the thing is, I haven't heard the greatest things about the tokenomics of Arbitrum and all these things, Optimism, Arbitrum, or whatever. They might do okay, but the thing is, like you also have all of the centralization risks of layer twos. So it's like, at least with Ethereum, you have a store of value. If you're on a layer two, then you have all the centralization risks on top of, you know, like your concerns about whether the number goes up or not. I don't know. They're kind of whatever to me. Like they work. I mean, they're fine, but it's just like, yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Arbitrum is not very interesting as the token, but the the projects that are like more of the native to Arbitrum. So I mentioned like Winner, Camelot. And yesterday I had a call with some guy. He wanted to make the video. It's called Lodestar Finance, which is like a compound which is native to Arbitrum. It's a modified fork of Compound.
There's a lot of those projects that will probably do okay. There's a lot of liquidity in Ethereum, so you know, you float some new project and it moons like pretty much as soon as you build it, right?
I was quite surprised because this one it was like 2.7 million market cap, and TVL was like 55 million of Ethereum and Bitcoin, and the APR they were paying was like 55%. And I'm saying to him, oh, is it incentivized with the ARB? And he's like, no, that's real yield. There is 50% of real yield. So, that's why I'm asking, because there's like quite a lot of these coins with micro caps paying real yield of 50%, which if you use Cosmos, this is something unthinkable when in Cosmos you have real yield at 0.2, right? Of similar protocols. So like in this case, it's lending borrowing. And the TVL is so high that the token itself pays such a high yield because it generates so much from the fees.
Yeah, you can certainly spread your money to some of those things. They could be good. Although, like again, all of those smaller projects, the thing is, like if you throw money at any substantial amount, many of them are fairly centralized and. All sorts of programs have had substantial hacks, as you know. So it's like even some of the bigger ones on Ethereum have had substantial hacks. So you can't go too heavy into them, I would say. Like you want to throw your money around here and there, like spread it thin.
And speaking of centralization in Cosmos, I'm not sure if you follow, there is this CCTP protocol deployed. It's by this chain Noble. And if you move your USDC from Ethereum to Cosmos, what happens essentially, you burn the native USDC on Ethereum, you connect two wallets, you burn the USDC on Ethereum, and the fees depends on the gas, but it's still way cheaper than bridging asset. And then after a while you get the native USDC on Cosmos, right? So this is great and cheap option. This is, in fact, the best option you can move.
Does benefit the like? Is that good to hold the Noble coin then, or what?
But the thing is, that's actually 100% Circle, right? So you are exposing. Once you connect your Ethereum wallet and Cosmos, they know your Cosmos wallet linked to the certain MetaMask address.
Yeah, for me in crypto, like. Like I just am not that interested in like generally in being in stable coins. So I don't follow that all the different like ways you can bridge them and the details about them. I just think like it's way less risky to hold cash in like, I don't know, money market account making 5%. Like, so stable coins are actually inferior right now to simply holding like just straight cash in many ways. So like to me, I don't really care about them that much. Like I think I care about them to the extent that they're a trading instrument. You need them to, but like the only reason I'm in crypto is for like, you know, parabolic price action and like, you know, really, really strong growth multiples, not so much for the, you know, like, you know, running my life on DeFi or some bullshit like some people do. Like, it's just not what I do with the ecosystem. Like, you know, I'm there for the 10Xs and whatever, not so much for the, you know, the yield on the stupid pools and whatever so much. Like, I've never done very much of that stuff. Like very limited. But anyway, so if folks want to hop up, like you have some like Zephyr related questions, things like that, feel free to hop up. Lu Xuan, I'm like trying to get him up here, but I think his connection is not working. Or maybe it will. Let's see.
Yeah, Zeph related questions or spiritual questions or anything, it's fine. Or how to become an influencer. I'm aware that me, Don Kryptonian, and Sefi have built large accounts. If you'd like to learn anything about how we did that, strategies we used, the ebooks we read, the courses we attended, then we're welcome. We welcome all those questions.
Okay, despite me being already a large influencer, right? 7,000 followers. It's truly impressive. Coach, what's the step that makes the Don Kryptonium explode? We are talking 10x, potentially 100x. How to bring that 7,000 into the Cephi size of 70,000 or even more into the close to 200,000 size of Coach Bruce? Is there some wisdom missing within Don Kryptonium to get that there?
I would say one of your major mistakes, Don, is you tell the truth. And I think if you want to grow a large account, you need to lie. You need to lie to people and you need to tell them what they want to hear so that they'll celebrate it. You need to appeal to their cognitive biases. You need to appeal to their delusions. You need to tell them things they think they want to hear that means their bags will go up. The moment you start telling the truth, you'll make 1,000 enemies. And those enemies will resent you forever.
They do. There is a couple people I don't follow, I never interact, and they keep popping into my responses sometimes and engage. And then when I respond, they say it's me who engage with them. But I never
thought. Yeah, it's kind of like, I would say, Don, it's like kind of like herding oxen in the sense that like you can't beat the oxen and you can't like make them depressed, but you have to kind of divert them like in the right way and kind of, you know, make the oxen happy and then like, you know, pull them into their pen and put them in their cage and milk them and all that, right? You can't just simply, you can't be abrasive. Right, like if you take sandpaper and rub it on the oxen doesn't like that.
These are the best advices I've got, and I think now I'm gonna try to experiment with that. I'm gonna try to lie a little bit more, be a little bit more bullish, more positive with the numbers. You know, no yields. No stable coins, 10x and 100x. That's the rhetoric we are building now.
Also, pretend that you know things that nobody else does.
Yeah, you're like the secret alpha that never comes. The other interesting thing is like Bruce spends a little bit more effort like putting like crafting posts and things, making them more entertaining. Asking little questions and things to kind of make sure that the crowd is like, you know, pushing buttons on their computer and like engaging with the little thing. That's a part of it maybe, but he's got a lot of thumbs down happening there for some reason.
So the way I post is I go to the toilet for a shit or whatever, or I'm walking around to a shop or something and I just write something on the way. And usually I laugh and that's it. That's my entire relationship with posting. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it works, though. That's the thing.
I'm not sure. I think if I wanted to grow a massive account, I would also lie far more. One of the first things you realize when you're on social media with Twitter is like with crypto is that, let's say you find out something really terrible, some kind of risk with a project or a chain or something. Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody ever, ever, ever wants to hear that. In fact, if you announce some kind of truth or some clarity about a risk, or even you say something, if it changed, it would make things far better. They will make you the demon. They will make you the witch and they will hunt you to the end of the earth. That's the first thing to realize, is that any kind of truthful but negative thing, even if it's positive in the long term, makes you a demon. Also, any kind of lie that seems to, in perception, have a good impact on price will make you the hero, the person who is celebrated, the person who gets enormous engagement. That's like basically the trick of becoming an influencer in crypto. If you do anything else other than that, if you dare to tell the truth, if you choose ideals or virtue over profit, then your following will suffer and you'll make 1,000 enemies. However, if you do that, you'll also go to heaven. So there's a trade-off.
You know, I remember, I think it was 2021, and there was a podcast of Kobe, and he was speaking of all the bullish influencers that's quite failing business model, because what these guys are gonna do when there will be like years of bear market, right? Like, and I think he assumed it's gonna end. But fast forward, we actually know it didn't end, right? So I often like mention Live Davis. I didn't know he knew of my existence, but I think this is the worst influencer that could ever be. Maybe even worse than Sito, the legendary man Sito. But you know, he could every video he could give 5 coins that he received the bags to Shill and so on and be very positive, and you know, at the tops he could say that the institutions want your money, they want your Bitcoin, and you cannot let them get it. But those people prevail. Like it seems what you say, it's absolutely right. No one cares. They buys can like nuke after, you know, because they listen to some influencer. They don't care. They still gonna watch. And so like all of these people are still very relevant in crypto, right? So even if they were like misleading and 2 years, the bags of that they shield went up to absolutely zero. So I think this is a very good take.
The other thing is kind of like despicable in the space is that so many projects, like basically all of them, well, I don't know, like the vast majority, 99% that I've witnessed over the past year and a half, like all the founders, all of the people that talk about it, they all disappear when the prices are at their lowest, which is the weirdest fucking thing to me. Like, wouldn't you want your users to know about your shit when like the price is low and then they're most likely to get benefit? No. Everyone shows up and gets excited and likes and retweets and shit when the price is going up. It's like that price meme effect. So then, same thing. All of a sudden, all of the founders and everybody start coming out of the woodwork and tweeting shit all of a sudden when the price is on the way up already. And then, like, you know, the people that bought at the bottom are already like a 3X or 4X or something like that. That's a frustrating thing to me. It's like, no matter how many times you describe that phenomenon to people over and over and over again to the founders and tell them, hey, start posting shit about your project. What the fuck are you doing? They just don't listen. So like a lot of the crypto space is just like a bunch of stupid people that don't know how the first thing about how to like get people into their projects. And this is a problem. I don't know how, like, I think someone mentioned it today. Like, it's one thing to sort of pump a coin or whatever. It's a whole nother thing to have retention. Like, how do you solve the retention problem where people don't drop their bags and kind of run away the moment like price goes down a little bit? And that's a tricky thing.
Well, I think you and Coach, maybe to more extent Coach, because I feel Coach more stayed around, like you now run the spaces, right? But the spaces were not around for a while.
No, we had them the whole time. We've been running them.
Okay,
it just varied. Like nobody would show up. That's the problem. Like you'd have them and then like, you know, 3-4 people show up and then everyone disappears. Yeah, the crowd shows up as the price goes up for sure.
But I think people still, there are certain people, you know, IC Sling, Lead Games, and many others. These people stay around for 2 years to these spaces. They hang out. And I think the kind of the fun factor of just like being able to chat to someone on the internet and be a little bit goofy makes the people together, right?
Yeah, it's also fun when new people show up, though. Then you hear some new voices, new ideas. They have their, you know, bags to shill or whatever issues they're having. So it gets more interesting. Otherwise, we're just talking to ourselves the whole time, which is also fine, too. But, like, it's just, you know, you want the variety.
So Coach mentioned the roundhead influencer before. You know, I would always wonder, like, why people watch that stuff. Because...
Can I go further?
Yes, please.
I would say the rounder the head, the worse the soul.
Are you talking like some people get really fat and then their face looks round? Are you talking about that? Or are you talking about like the underpinning bone structure?
I'm talking about underpinning, as in if the person has been starved or been on a water fast for the last 3 months. That their head is almost perfectly spherical.
It's still round. Yeah.
No,
it's not because anyone
can get a round head by effort, but very few can get a round head by genetics. You need to be particularly despicable.
At one time, my parotid glands mysteriously swole up like 3 times larger than usual. It made my head look basketball shaped, and it wasn't anything of my own fault so far as I could tell. And I was pretty happy. And I was,
have they gone back down? Have they gone back to normal?
Yeah, they've gone back to normal. It still is unexplained, but I'm afraid that during that period of time I might have done some terrible things that maybe I wasn't aware of.
If it didn't go back to normal, we'd have to block you, right? But you're fine.
No. Yeah. Doesn't sound like there was causality there.
Hello, my head is getting tired. I can't wait. I want to ask why are you on space for 7 hours stealing same coin, Zef, every... Like, Zefi, you are very influencing my life, but Zef, 7 hours... I'm currently like, are you getting paid by Zef to, like, sit here for 7 hours doing nothing, talking, like, yeah. Crypto? Like,
when my bag's worth $100 million, when my bag's worth $100 million, my little Amazonian man tells me it's okay to use it. That's all the payment I need.
Is Rutherford P. Zef paying you off with his family fortune?
Who?
No. Rutherford P. Zef, the patriarch of the Zef family, the guardian of their coffers?
Simple answer, Mr. Daisy Crypto, is that basically when I find something ridiculously cool, then long spaces happen. If I don't see ridiculously cool shit, then we get the 5-minute spaces or maybe a mention of a coin or something like that. This is different. That's why we're talking about it as much.
Dude, there's two types of people that run 8-hour spaces. There are people with like absolutely nothing better to do in their entire life, and they like don't work and they're on disability.
Is that directed at King Webby?
I don't know him well enough. You'll have to let me know if he fits the criteria. And then there's people who are like so astoundingly like wealthy and successful that they'll run 8-hour spaces just for the heck of it because they're enthusiastic about an idea. And so you have to decide for yourself, like, which end of the spectrum Sefi is on. Is he the person, like, the layabout with, like, really nothing going on at all? And he's,
Think for a moment. Is there any reason why I need to mine Zephyr coins? No. Is there any reason I have to spend a day monkeying around with a rig?
You're asking us to trust you with your word.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to do that.
That's how you know I'm a nerd.
I think you're selling like fractional Zephyr coins every moment just to buy another pellet for your stove this winter. I think you need the price to go up.
Excuse me, Green, one second. The reason why I'm asking, I don't have a lot of time. I cannot like sit on space for 7 hours. Like, I understand you hustle. Me, I'm working hard in India. So can you like 5-minute pitch me Zef coin, please?
Yeah, the simple answer is it's a proof of work coin. You know, you understand proof of work, right?
100%. I'm mining since 2008.
Perfect. 2008. Wow. Okay.
No, I'm talking like mining in my farm. In my hometown, I mine like gold and silver, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. So you're a minerals guy. Okay.
It's digital mining.
Bro, commodities.
Yeah, so commodities. So basically, this is a digitally mined coin, and basically it is the same protocol as Monero. And market cap is low. A ton of people are interested in this thing, and numbers likely to go up. That's why we are here.
Proof of work. I know proof of work. Very interesting to me. I am. I believe it is more value to the world than proof of stake. I know. I followed Don Crypt long time. He's like proof of stake guy.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you a simple question. Do you like number go up or numbers that go down?
Look, I number go up, number go down different day every day. Okay, Sefi. I look at technology. Okay. And like earlier, before you interrupt me, proof of work is number one. Okay. You say proof of stake is like steak. I'm India. We don't like steak. Okay. Cow is holy. We don't like steak. Okay. We like proof of work. Why? We work hard. very hard. Every day we go and turn on computer mine. Okay, so you tell me Zeph is proof of work. I am down 100%. So please, like, keep telling me why Zeph is the future. Thank you.
It won't be the same as it would be. You won't glean as much as you would if you sat for 8 hours of a space, but we'll try to distill it for you some more.
Please, sir, please, go ahead.
The other reason we hang around for hours at a time is because we're all friends here, that's why. And friends buy coins with each other and, like, you know, talk about, you know, coins and, like, little toys and little technologies and all sorts of bullshit with each other. That's what we do.
Desi Crypto, if you really care about the technology, the Zephyr Protocol is a proof of work coin that has privacy built in so that you can't tell, like, how much Zeph somebody has or who owns what wallet. When a Zeph wallet sends to another Zeph wallet, it's anonymized. And
yeah,
so,
like the Indian government.
Yeah. Well, and then the other, he won't know whose pocket it's in. And the other thing that it could do that the other privacy coins can't is that you can convert the Zeph into a dollar denominated stable coin within the wallet and it'll still stay private. So it's a private stable coin and a private, you know, Bitcoin like proof of work coin in one. And then there's a little bit more you can do too. If you really believe in the protocol, you can help shore up the reserves that collateralize the stable coin. So it does more than other privacy coins can while still being proof of work and not overcomplicating things. And it's at a much lower market cap than the other privacy coins of note that had launched in the last few years. And proof of work coins have had a bit of like a renaissance recently, but with Caspa like going to a gigantic market cap. We're at about the point in the cycle right now that Caspa was a year ago, if we're going to look at the Caspa charts. But it's a totally different value proposition. Caspa is supposed to be a better Bitcoin. Zeph is a little bit more like a better Monero. And Monero is still like a multi-billion dollar market cap. If we were at a similar market cap with Zeph, then we'd be looking at like $1,000 to $3,000 per coin, you know, at the top of like the bull market. It might be that Zeph stays a little bit niche because not everybody needs a stable coin, but Zeph can do more. And it's interesting because a lot of times, like, let's say if you had Monero and you're afraid that the market's going to go down, you're afraid that the value of your Monero is going to go down, so you sell it. The moment you sell that crap, like, you're no longer private. But if Zeph works, then instead of selling Zeph, if you thought the market was going to go down and you're sophisticated enough, you could just swap it for the Zeph stable dollar inside the wallet and it stays private. And it doesn't affect the price of Zeph to do it either because of the way it works. It's just some Zeph disappears and some ZST appears, but nobody can really see who's got what anyway. And so you don't have to take it off chain and sell it in order to protect your funds. I'm sure a lot of people who had a lot of money. Yeah.
Daisy, does that cover it for you or no?
Sorry, you cut out green halfway. All I heard was you talking price action and up and down. Like I said earlier, I am a man of technology. You call it proof of work. I have my NVIDIA 2080.
No. That's not going to do it for you. You don't want the NVIDIA card. This is the people's coin. You mine it on a CPU.
Yeah, we don't have ASICs, man. Like, I want to.
No, you don't need ASICs. No ASICs. It's ASICs resistant. It's ASICs resistant. It's meant to prevent people from mining it too easily with stuff that's hard to get or that only people with thousands of dollars can afford. Like a $700 computer.
Hold on. You say ASICs resistant. I don't have ASICs. So why is it a problem?
Yeah. No, that's not a problem. It's good for you. So you're saying I don't have ASICs. That's good. And you also don't need a big graphics card. You just need a decent processor, a PC processor.
Because I pay Counter-Strike. I want to mine while paying Counter-Strike Gofil is Zeph coin. Like, very simple, man. I play game, make money on Counter-Strike, make money on Zeph coin, like proof of work. Like, so you're telling me, Green, okay, whatever, like your name, Green Spigot,
Yeah, you'll be a billionaire while
I can mine with NVIDIA 2080.
Yes.
No, you don't want to mine with the
NVIDIA
2080. Yes. Is that a graphics card or is that the processor?
Is it GPU, bro? Card. Like you living under a rock or something, bro? Come on.
Okay, I don't know much about the NVIDIA card. So you can mine with a decent processor. Most people are using Ryzen's. It seems to work pretty well.
Very interesting, Sefi. Very interesting. You can tell me more about this coin. I feel like my bone is bullish on this.
I told you like 95% of what you needed to know about it, but you didn't hear it, and you said you wanted
you should,
to know
you should only
it. You can play it on the replay.
Stacey, let me tell you, the only thing involved Green, with this, you saying, feel like bro? It like, makes you...
Green, one up. Second, Sefi. Green, what are you saying to me, bro? Say it again.
I told you all you needed to know about the technology, but either you didn't hear it or the call broke up. Green, when this is over, you can rewind it.
Does it make you tingle in your balls?
I said I don't have 7 hours to rewind space. Tell me alpha
Daisy,
now.
Daisy,
like,
hold up a second. It either makes you tingle in your balls or it doesn't, right? There's no two ways about it. So far, what you heard, do you get a tingle yet?
I said before, I think my bone is bullish. Proof of work, I said earlier.
Proof of bone,
whatever you want to call it, bro. If I can mine on my NVIDIA 2080, okay, I am bullish. I don't care if it is going 0 or 10x, like I said. I don't care about price.
Yeah,
you
load
give
up
me
your
technology,
computer.
I mine, I happy.
Yep, load up your computer, go to zephyrprotocol.com and start mining today. Yes, sir. Enjoy.
Thank you, Sefi.
Drop
you
off
are
the call and start.
First capacity. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And don't creep co-host Coach Bruce. Bruce, I love you. I cannot tell you why, but your profile, the bull you have on your DP make me like very peaceful. You know, like I don't know about his green spigot. Like he PFP make me a bit weird. I like negative vibe, you know, from this man. Green, like you need to put positive in your life. You know,
oh,
like,
I changed my mind.
Like,
I like green
Coach
now.
Sefi and Dawn, like we are positive vibe up here. You like negative vibe, but I just want you to be better. Be better at everything, brother. Okay,
I take back what I say. I like Green now. He the best. So much better than Bruce.
He races, bro. We know you're not Indian. Come on, bro.
Okay.
It's okay. Do my voice. You can do my voice.
I wish I can do American accent. I get it. All the girls. But guess what, bro? I still get girl with my Indian. You know why? I have charisma. Okay, something you don't have.
You've got vibes. You've got something. It's very powerful. I'll give you one of my girls from my American voice.
Sorry, I don't. I'm over 18. Sorry.
Over 80? It's amazing that you know as much
bro,
as you know about.
18. I'm over 18. Sorry, bro.
Okay.
Dale, is your mic working?
Yeah.
One sec, Ren. Dale, are you there? I'm not sure. What is wrong with Dale here? He just doesn't seem to be able to arrive at any kind of like vocal speech.
Don't Kryptonium. I want to say like you say proof of stake always. I watch YouTube channel every day in India. I show my friend your video. Like, man, I minted a lot of what you shield. But what do you think? Proof of work, proof of stake. Like I said, I don't eat steak, anything steak, gambling. I don't like. What is your opinion on proof of work and this Zephy coin? Thank you.
Sir, I was just about to start my HRV training, so I will answer that and then I will do the round of HRV. That's the another advice of the good investment. I think the coach theory. It's called the coach theory. The higher HRV, the higher the returns, and not only financial, but also spiritual rewards, right? So for your case, that would be more cows in your backyard if you could train the HRV higher. You are right. I should probably venture into proof of work, into the real money, into the real men, into the hands with the calluses, instead of proof of stake. If we would have to compare, I would think the proof of work is the man with big arms, with the pulsating veins on those arms, with the six packs, right? Work. They know how to use the shovel. They know how to call that shit. Take away the snow from the, you know, from the next to the garage. They know how to do this. They also know how to prepare the good meal for the family, right? Like the nice meal, like pasta or something. But proof of stake,
chicken curry, Don.
Chicken curry.
Yeah.
Biryani. Yeah. Chicken biryani. Yeah, that's the good. I know, Iron, that's your favorite. If you could have one thing till the end of this life, this is what you would have. But proof, like, that's the...
What you said, Iron? What are you talking, bro?
Sorry, I must have missed that. I wasn't thinking very much. I was probably talking with no thinking. So that's what you think of
proof of work. Yes, go ahead, Lord, go ahead.
Yeah, that's what you think of proof of work, right? Strong men, big arms, six packs.
And big boners.
Big boners, a lot of nighttime erections happening every 15 minutes, lasting 15 minutes, strong. Not like bending head, but strong, juicy, you know, with the big pear, big red pear on top. Also, a lot of veins, pulsating veins. Intense dream about the hundreds of lovers you have. So that's what we think when we speak of proof of work, right? But when we think of proof of stake, what's proof of stake? Proof of stake, you think a boy in the bedroom, in the mother's bedroom. A little sweaty.
Jake Hartnell, yes.
For example, that's the. I wasn't exactly thinking of Jake Hartnell because he's rather slim. He's a rather slim person, but that's also like no muscle, you know? Not much of the nighttime erections, you know? A lot of drugs to complement what he's missing with those, with this other life. But also a lot of boys, a little sweaty in the mother bedrooms, a little obese, maybe not a little obese, but rather severely obese, you know, not many hair of the body because not much of the, you know, productions of the certain hormones. So like 35 year old, but hairless, completely hairless.
They're not eating enough chicken curry.
They're not eating chicken curry. They're eating ice cream from the, you know.
Yeah, the soybean thing and all that. It's no good.
Yes, no good. No erections.
These are the people that produce pussy coins. Pussy coins, no good.
Pussy cards, you know. They do that proof of stakes and they do the inflation, big inflation. My coin, you stake, you earn. No work because they don't like the work. When you grab their hand, it's soft. It doesn't have any callus. In fact, it doesn't even feel like the palm. It's that soft. It feels like a baby skin. It's like you would be touching a little bit sweaty baby. And if you smell them, they also smell like a little baby, but more stinky. Yeah, go on. I will do HRV breathing now, if you don't mind.
No, I was just putting my hand like in celebration. What you're saying, 100%. Like, let me tell everyone who's listening right now. Like, I got rugged a lot of time in proof of stake. I was in a lot of proof of stake coin and following Cosmos and all this app chain. And I feel like I want to be in the future of technology. I want to be in interchain and all this technology. And I find like what Don is saying, like you look at just the physiology of these developers. They look like Don was saying, like little boy, like no testosterone, low testosterone. Like you got to look at proof of work as man coin. Like Don was saying, I'm mining since I'm 2000 2008, I go in the village and mine. Whatever I see, I just dig a hole and see what I can get, you know? Copper, you know, gold, silver. Like, where you thumbs down, bro? Like, come on, man. You have cow. Be respectful. So, like I was saying, like what Don was saying, like proof of work is very masculine. If you look at like people who proof of work, like Craig Wright, very masculine looking individuals. So Don, 100% on your thesis on proof of work masculinity. Thank you.
Okay, onwards. What other subjects we need to cover, Bruce? The broader question is, has anyone heard this discussion and decided, I need to get the Zeph dip? I don't know. We've been talking about balls. We've been talking about chicken curry. We've been talking about mining gold. I think we even covered... What else did we cover exactly? I don't even know. Dale, who doesn't speak when he arrives here each time. That's inexplicable. Don't understand that.
I'm curious what Slinks, you hear, can you hear me, Slinks?
Slinks, are you asleep or what?
I'm eating. What?
Yeah, she heard all this talk about chicken curry.
You female, what are you eating, Slinks? I'm very curious now.
Lime-flavored corn chips, tortilla chips.
Very good, very good. No seed oil, no like vegetable oil, none of that. You have checked the ingredients. Seed oil, let me tell some people, physiology and is very important when you invest. It diet is impact your brain a lot. So don't eat seed oil, Slinks. I want you to be very smart, girl.
I'd like to hear from Dale. I'd like to hear from Dale because Dale has committed to the Crunks NFT PFP.
How are you, Dale? Can you hear us this time?
Hey guys, can you hear me now this time?
Oh my God, you're working. Yes.
Hey, I love you.
Set up. You all of course recognize the Crunks because, you know, it's the only surviving collection that migrated to Polygon instead of got crushed again.
What is your theory about Zephyr? What are your thoughts?
My balls tangled, man. They did, and I was sad because I was stuck at my work desk because I, you know, once I got wrecked, I had to go back to work, so I couldn't get home. That USB that I found in the Amazon forest that had all those coins I wanted to save to buy the dip with, but eventually I did get in there. It tangled real good.
Every crypto project, really since the dawn of time, including like Cardano and everybody, like everyone wanted to save the Africans for some reason. Do you believe that, like wells are going to be dug in Africa as a result of the Zephyr protocol, or not really?
I'd love it if it would. That's a big population, and we need to be, make them help them. Yeah, I think that's like a maximum impact.
You think they would make use of ZSD stable dollars?
Yeah, that's a good. I mean, I don't really. You know, I was with you more earlier on, like just wanting to build like just the proof of work, right? I'm just about the proof of work. So if there's a stable coin, that's cool. But I'm not good at trading, like on the trend.
Yeah.
So I'm just
saying, you want to have a certain kind of currency to buy missile launchers and things.
Well, I'm just more concerned about, I guess a missile launcher is like a defense weapon. I'm more into only defense weapons. So just
yeah, it's defensively. I mean, you have to like, let's say you're
deterrent,
getting fired at by at rockets, least a threat, so you have to take them out.
Possibly, you know, thinking that I could have one. Might be.
Yeah, a laser guided missile. Yeah. It's a reasonable aspirational object to own, right? Wouldn't you say?
I think I'm actually a simple guy. Simple kind of.
I only have a few. I'm thinking of like getting some more. Yeah.
I'm more into drones, honestly. But I think a drone would be cooler than
Drone swarms. Are you buying yourself some drone swarms?
I think that's when Zeph hits like 10,000, I'm gonna be putting drone shows on everywhere.
With like the lights and everything, yeah, like for maybe like 4th of July or maybe.
Yeah, send secret messages, all kinds of stuff.
You'll like throw like a concert, the weekend will come and sing like blinding lights and stuff.
And I'll just fuck with people.
You don't need $10,000. You don't need $10,000 to send secret messages. You just need some lemon juice and paper.
True. Good point there.
Lemon juice and paper. Okay. Well, we don't need Zephyr Protocol then.
No. I was also. I know. I maybe what I was going to mention earlier, which was.
Dave, you're breaking up. I think the first thing you need is like maybe when like, you I'm not, have your moon bag goes up
before like we get anywhere. Like I have no intention that like this is. It's I guarantee you, it's a fucking shitcoin meme on Uniswap that is not worth the gas. Like 99% of them, it's just fucking hilarious that it's pumped in 6 hours like 200,000%. But it's it's one of those funny ones that, of course, anything Elon says
they we missed that. It. Like what was it now? We miss you're cutting out periodically.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, it might be my connection back here. I'm not sure.
Okay.
But anyways, I was just laughing about it, laughing my ass off because I saw a space on it. The GFY, go fuck yourself, Uniswap token. So I had me jazzed up tonight. Yourself.
Okay. Yeah, from the Elon thing.
Today. Yeah. I mean, I'm not recommending it by any means. It's probably just but it was funny to see. Just how the internet sort of takes that and runs with it every time. Anything stupid like that. But I'd rather just stick to my Doge because, like y'all were saying just a few moments ago, the proof of work. I don't want proof of stake. I don't want to. I hate ETH. I fucking hate ETH. It is my least favorite freaking thing. It's gas fucking pisses me off every single time I ever try to do anything with ETH. Fucking sucks. So that's it. That's the end of my story. I love proof of work. Love me some Doge. Love me some Zeph.
Doge to the moon, bro.
Of course, I'm a freaking lunatic. I got the crunk still, Got the crunk. Matic is cool because it's just, it was like, it was easy to use with MetaMask, but I guess. I don't
know what so you picked up Zephyr at the bottom then, right?
As low as I could. As low as I could.
Okay. It's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to get things after they go up a whole lot, but when they go.
Right. I could have got more if I had gone sooner, as we all do know. But it's usually the game.
Okay. Any other questions about this system from anybody? Anyone to hop up? Come up here. We've heard the like gold miner from India. We've heard Dale the wrecked lunatic. We've heard from Slinks who's eating apparently. Grin who had an argument with the Indian guy.
I found out I'm eating sunflower and saf oil. So I'm gonna die.
Yeah. Don't die right now.
You have a man right now. You have a man in your life, like father, brother, boyfriend, husband.
I have a father.
What about husband or boyfriend?
No.
Because this, like, man is supposed to take care of a woman, like, including diet. Like, the matrix is real. Like, it starts with your food. So, like, sunflower oil, like we in India, we all use ghee, like cow ghee, like we as humans use ghee long time. So like just be careful and it's all love. And then
what do you listen to back there in the background? Drake or something? What do you guys listen to in India?
You want to have a little test? This is my song I make. I play from the start. One second. It is.
You just listen.
My favorite.
You listen to your own song on loop.
Yes.
All right. Enough of this noise. What's going on, W Luna? What are you doing? Have you gotten your money back yet? Are you there? What is going on tonight, Bruce? I'm having a hard time.
I sort of zoned out when people stopped being normal. I only really like to talk to normal people. So
yeah, I think I'm going to kick everyone else out.
That's my story.
Come on.
Yeah, you're boring, Bruce. This retard talk is getting out of hand.
I don't like people who are normal, and I don't like people who try too hard. And I also don't like people who follow CryptoCito.
The roundhead.
I just unfollowed him today with your inspiration.
How's it feel?
I feel clean.
Feels sort of like a shower, isn't it, for the soul?
I don't think I'm aware. What did CryptoCito, what is his offense?
Having a round head.
That's a pretty big offense in this case.
No, I watched my first CryptoCito video the other day, and I have to say I was disgusted. I don't like the way he talks. I really hate that jingle, that intro jingle thing where he plays that weird, like, what even is it? I'm not sure. Like a weird bit of music for 30 seconds. I hate it. Like, I've never hated something more than that. It made my lower spine cringe, and it made me feel like hollowness in my belly. Like, I just thought it was awful. And then also more than that, I think he's like somebody who's modeled himself as an influencer to appeal purely to the idea of what an influencer is by really autistic nerdy devs, like the people who fund different projects from community pools, like the Atom community pool or whatever. He's basically tailored himself to try and get $30,000 sums from those people to make videos or do certain things. But I don't think he actually moves money at all in any way. And I don't think he can bring a single new investor to anywhere. I also am deeply suspicious of his round head, which I think is correlated based on many, many studies based on a lack of virtue. The round head, in terms of physiognomy, indicates that you are nothing in particular. You don't stand for anything particular. You don't have any edges or corners. You're not willing to take a stand at any place on a moral landscape. You are simply an amorphous spherical blob that will stand for how you can make money in any given moment, but have no long-term continuity of morals or virtue. I don't like his round head. I don't like his videos. I don't like his jingle. I don't like what he represents. And I'm happy that Slinks is unfollowed.
What jingle? I missed this.
If you look at the first 30 seconds or so of any of his videos, he plays this weird fucking jingle that's just the worst thing in the world. Let me try and find it and play it. One sec.
Yeah, I've got to hear this. I think maybe that's going to turn the tide for me.
Is it all going to be stuck in our heads for the rest of the night?
I just want you to experience it, and then you can conclude whatever you like. I don't mind if people like him or whatever, but just, like, fuck off.
That would make you question of the what are the devs in the space, okay? Because I realized I would say I'm rather creative being, yeah. I probably didn't maybe achieve much of creative, but I always loved the movies. I love the stories, right? I tried to get to film school multiple times. I didn't get, but and when you watch Cito, and you know that there is so much backing of those devs, right? They love it. They watch it and they're like, yeah, this guy do good content. He has informed us on the airdrop. There is new airdrop. He told people, stake the coins and you get the airdrop. And in 5 years, those coins will go up. You just need to stake the coins, get airdrop.
Done. Doesn't this motherfucker only own Juno and Evmos or some bullshit?
He did the challenge. So last year he did the $10,000 challenge.
Wait, let me play that. I've just found that video. And I think he'll do the intro as well. Let me play it, Don.
You need to
March of 2022, I started the Cosmos Portfolio Challenge with the goal to show you how to navigate through the interchain, how to use Cosmos, how to use Kepler, how to maximize eligibility for airdrops in real time with real money. So when I start,
oh my god, that's concerning. Jesus
man,
Christ! Don't do that again.
Jingle, the worst thing ever.
Don't do that again, man. Like
everyone unfollow.
You knew that was gonna hurt me, but you did it anyway. This is everyone what really
unfollow.
Bothers me.
Everyone unfollow.
Bruce, there are certain things in this.
The Cosmos app is watching that and saying, "This is what I need."
Bruce, there are certain things in this world I expect you to protect me from, and that was one of those things.
So when I
isn't that the worst like bit of music you can choose as a jingle ever?
Is that Jesus?
It's his jingle he's played on every video for the last 2 fucking years.
You know what kind of music I like, and this will not work.
No, it's like, aside from your taste, it's objectively disgusting. Like, everything about it is like a spine-cringing thing. It's awful.
It's round head music.
Well, here's the thing I've realized, Slinks, over time, is that people's aesthetic tastes, whether it's visual or, like, their taste in NFTs or their taste in music, reflects them, who they really are at a soul level. And the fact that he thinks this is a great idea and sounds really good just indicates everything I ever want to know about him. And indicates that I can just block him freely. It's over. A guy who would pick a piece of music like that is somebody I would never want to share my life with ever. Like, it's done. I don't mind if he goes and lives with people who like him or whatever. Just, you know, stay the fuck away from me.
You know, Coach, I don't want to sound hateful or envious. That would be the worst, but I know you tried to validate Cosmos Hub, right? With others, try to support someone new. And I think you messaged Zaki Manyan.
I did, yeah. I made an Atom validator, and the idea was I'd support some small content creators, like Jade and a few other people, and basically put all of the yield towards them because they were getting nothing. And then I messaged Seffy. Seffy staked a lot, or his brother did, or whatever. And then various other whales staked a lot. And then I was like barely within the set, like maybe three above. And some of the old Cosmos OG people said they would help and stake a lot to get me up in the set. And I didn't care really personally. I just wanted to have like basically the idea on a silly level was to like bring like two or three females to the Cosmos. And have them make videos and things and have it be a little bit less incel-y as a result. But what happened? They never fulfilled their promises. It dropped out of the set and I closed it. And then all those girls quit crypto.
Yeah, so these people like Zaki, those OGs that would tell you they would support you, but not, they actually do support him, right? They whether via sponsorships or getting him delegations, it's They choosing Sito as the good influencer, as the one that do trusted news, the good source of news, the informative content. Yeah, and I experienced that, you know, like because I was dropping a few times in the past, and I would like message them, and the responses would, and it would be like nonsense amount, you know, just. They would be in place because some of them sit on millions of tokens, and it would be like few thousand atoms to keep me in the active set. But they would either like not respond to that particular message or say no, cannot, you know. And I think that reflects what Cosmos is and like what kind of like information get supported, you know. I meant Zaki.
I wonder also if though these guys get like a lot of requests from different validator stuff every time someone's kind of at the bottom of the active set, that they're like, they're always harassed with like requests for delegation.
Nah, you're being unreasonable. Like I was funding women and there are no women in Atom.
No, this is true. I'm like, just saying, like, maybe these guys also get a lot of these requests.
How many personalities are there, like Don or me or anyone vaguely interesting that people sort of want to listen to? Like,
I don't
zero.
Think those guys pay much attention either way. I don't feel like they're very engaged in that.
They don't. It's kind of like we were talking about the other day with Rama. They don't really nurture or incentivize or reward or express gratitude for the people who bring the soul of the chain, and therefore it has no soul. Which is why I've advised you to sell your atom, and still do.
I have a confession. I only stake Tecito with all the sketchy coins, because if anything happens, then you can really dunk on his round face.
You've admitted to this.
There's this principle in like Taoism. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's just like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably kind of starts to happen. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's just like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, inevitably it kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts for getting out of fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source but don't listen to the code, and now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you bleeding out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yambato and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Is it really worth all the effort? Is it really worth all the fighting? The drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
We started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out, teaching all these plebidites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits, all you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, this shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we'd call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. Cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile, over here rewiring features, more critical thinking, less knee-jerk, more evolution, less shit coin preachers pretending to be teachers. Y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record. A bunch of VC rat fucks sucking up the cheddar. The recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat. Now we all in your butts and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the better end. And sometimes it's better to just like move on.
Terra Spaces.